Get Ruined Dits for Breakfast. Weekdays from 6 or subscribe to Ruined Dits for Breakfast catch-up at triplem.com.au.
Oh, on a Tuesday morning, Roo, I'd love to start on a happy, positive note, but just as we do, you know we have the TVs on in the studio. SA electricity crisis in big letters right across the screen. Don't tell me. What's happening now?
Well, there could be some power outages today. They're doing a bit of maintenance in Victoria, where we get our power from most of the time or half the time.
Magnificent.
Yeah, so get the candles ready.
Yes. And get your torch. Get the batteries out for the torch.
Yeah, recharge everything. Get the generator from Adelaide Tools and whack that on just in case you need to get your lights going later on.
Make sure your gas bottle's full for the barbie.
You won't have to thaw a roast out for tea tonight. It'll do itself.
Yeah.
That's true. No, it should be a good day today.
Oh, God, what is going on?
So, therefore, we should build another couple wind farms.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, approve a couple more wind farms and that'd be good.
Oh, gee whiz. I want you to run this state, Roo. I want you to be... bloody premier one day.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah. What's coming up today? What is happening positively in this joint?
Well, if I was premier, Tex Walker would be right alongside me. He's coming in today. We'll have a chat to Tex about his little crows on the weekend. They weren't too bad for a quarter or two.
Yeah. Being a Tuesday, we've got the Angels coming up. A couple of good topics for them later on as well.
Yeah.
And also, I saw the pictures last night on the telly of the new RA.
The new Royal Adelaide Hospital. We're going to have Smitho, who was down there, and tell us what it was like. Give us an unbiased view.
He had a tour. Did you see where our health minister, Mr. Snelling, made a statement? And sometimes when you're in front of the press, I know you've got to choose your words quickly.
I think they're looking for good news.
He said, I'm like a proud father. He said something like, I'm like a proud father that's just had a baby. I thought, for God's sake, mate. I fear for your wife because you're about three years late.
It's a 25-pounder.
She's been in labour forever.
She's going to go straight to school from hospital.
Anyway, I thought that was a bit strange. Yeah. We'll find out more about it a little bit later on. It's ruined. It's a top of 33 in Adelaide today. It's already 20 degrees.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits on Triple M. Roo, the big thing's making news right around the world. I can't believe this, but Baker's Delight are in strife. They're in trouble.
Yeah, a lot of people are at the moment. If you put the wrong thing in the lunchbox, Dits, just put an apple in there.
So they've put an sandwich. They're in trouble with the Advertising Standards Board, whatever they're called. Advertising Standards Australia or something. And basically they've got an ad where there's a finger bun and they've put M&Ms on it. And they've said no more, what does it say?
No more issues packing lunch or something
no
like that.
No more issues packing your lunchbox. So basically they're encouraging people to buy these finger buns. Now, Roo, tell me, as a parent, isn't it your choice what you put into your kids' lunchboxes or not?
It is, but I understand why people are making the changes here. We do talk about this issue on here a little bit about kids and what shape they're in these days. But unfortunately, when you make decisions like this, it puts everyone in the same box, doesn't it? Whether you're a kid that plays sport 5 days a week and eats healthy 95% of the time and have done the right thing, you can't put a chocolate donut in the lunchbox.
So,
but for the kid who has the chocolate donut every day, there's no balance.
All right. Yeah. Now, I would have thought 90-odd% of people, and we see this all the time on the way home, mum or dad drop into, you know, the petrol station or wherever and say, yeah, you can have a chocolate donut. No worry. Don't most kids get a snack after school?
Yep, they
and
do.
Isn't it up to us as parents as to what we buy? I'd be going the other way. I'd be saying to the schools, get the bloody kids out doing sport again.
Yeah.
Instead of telling me what to put in my kids' lunchbox.
I think now they just want to make schools a healthy environment. And give them the donut on the way home, I think, is what, you know, perhaps what they're saying.
Yeah.
So make schools a healthy so that every kid, when they go and sit down at lunch, has got a apple and a muesli bar, as opposed to one kid over there has got a chocolate donut. We're going to probably thieve it off him.
All right, here's a thought.
Because we're hungry.
Here's a thought. Now, my childhood, you know what? Here's an admission. I never, ever, ever had a piece of fruit at school. I never took fruit in my lunchbox ever, right? Now, the difference was, though, I could not wait to get out on the oval. So before school, recess time, lunchtime, we ran and ran and ran, whether it was footy or cricket, whatever we did.
What was the connection with that and fruit?
Well, I'm just saying, because we were healthy kids, we ran. So if I look back at what I ate for recess and lunch, it was probably never that good, to be honest. But, geez, we ran and ran. And then after school, all I ever did at home was couldn't wait to get out in the backyard and play whatever it was.
Yep.
So isn't it? That's what I'm saying. My message to schools out there
is the combination of this, the healthy eating and the exercise.
Probably. But this dictatorial thing, though, of a school telling me what I'll put in my kids' lunchboxes.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What's the first thing your kids need after school? Surely they have a snack of some description.
Yeah, they do.
What do you get them?
Or cut it up, fruit at home or whatever they need.
Do you?
Every now and then they have a treat.
Yeah?
Yeah, but not all the time. Mm. Sometimes food is the way that people are talking these days, Dits.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
All right, anyway, we'll get the Angels to talk about this a little bit later on as well. Interesting topic.
Pauline Hanson has had a rough couple of days. Mm. She was making some strides, and in fact, she got up to 10% of voting in the world of
opinion polls,
comparisons and polls. But I reckon if they took a poll right now, she might have slid back down a few notches. She's had a rough couple of days, and yesterday she was talking about Muslims again.
So there's no Muslim is a good Muslim.
I do believe there are some that want to actually live a quiet life and a good life. But Tracy, you tell me, you line up a number of Muslims, who's the good one?
You line them up, Pauline.
Yeah, now, she hasn't chosen her words too well there. Because, Pauline, I'm here to tell you, we could line up a whole heap of Australians too, and you tell me the good ones.
Yep.
So you got to be a bit careful how you choose your words.
Yeah, and that's one of her issues, and she didn't choose them too well the day before with vaccinations, did she?
No.
I tell you, I saw some people on TV last night that weren't happy about it, people who had lost their kids due to sick kids and parents going into childcare centres and schools and with whooping cough and bits and pieces. It was pretty sad. I think she deeply regrets saying it. A lot of doctors absolutely spewing at her coming out with that. But she had a little bit more to say about the Muslims as well.
I hear Australians that have lived just nice, quiet life in their suburbs, and then they've had Muslims come in there who actually have changed their suburbs. You know, they've built these mosques and they have cars parked across their driveway, or they have rubbish thrown over their fences. If these people want to come to live here, respect our laws, even in courtrooms, they have no respect for the judges, won't even stand up. I think the burqa should absolutely go.
Yep, she's got interesting views, hasn't she? Lucky no Australians have parked across driveways or thrown rubbish.
Oh, surely not.
Or done anything wrong. The burqa's a different issue and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
But all right. Anyway, she's dug a deep hole the last couple of days.
Yeah, she has. Let's move on. Finally, now yesterday we talked about stamp duty in Victoria, Roo, where how's the length? The threshold was going to be $600,000 and you wouldn't pay stamp duty. Okay, so the Victorian government trying to incentivise people. There's a new plan that's come out overnight. Now, this is only a suggestion. What do you think about this? Because I know you're a good numbers man. They're saying that the median house price in Sydney, $1.2 million, right? Now, how on earth do people get into the housing market? And I think in Victoria, it's about $850,000.
Mm.
There's a suggestion that moving forward, young people or any of us own 75% of our home and the government retains 25% of it. So they help you buy your home or live in your own home. And then the day comes when you sell it, same thing. You get 75% of the proceeds. Government gets 25%.
Not sure.
How's that for an idea?
I'm not sure how that's going to work, to be honest. I think all these schemes have got good intentions, but how closely they're monitored and for rorting, I suppose, would be something that you would need to consider. But, you know, New South Wales, they had a reasonable amount of debt. About 5 years ago, 8 years ago, whatever. They haven't got any debt in New South Wales at the moment, all due to the booming real estate economy over there. So they've got zero debt. That with all the money that you get from stamp duty, the government's paid off all their money. So they can afford to start splashing some cash around. Sydney is in a very good position. So I think there'll be, and there's a sort of a bit of a battle between those two states at the moment about who's going to be bigger. I mean, some people have said Victoria's going to overtake New South Wales, haven't they? So I think...
Well, Queensland's the other one. Queensland's grown enormously in the last decade.
Yeah. I think Melbourne's the fastest growing place in Australia at the moment. So New South Wales will probably try and trump Victoria.
Mm.
It's probably the wrong word
at
the moment.
It's been going on for a long, long time,
yeah,
that battle.
But now that they're in a good position financially, look out.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M. Ruin Tits for Breakfast. Tits! On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers
gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Good morning, Tex.
Morning, Ditz.
How's the body? You've pulled up all right?
Pulled up really well, yeah.
Yep.
Played three quarters on Sunday and quite enjoyed getting a kick. It was a bit different to me first week.
Can I ask you about the preseason comp? Some people, I've heard commentators already say, why don't we just hit the ground running in round one? Everyone just play their internal trials. Are you enjoying these early matches?
I think, two or three. Some say three's enough, and then some say two's enough. I think it's good. Personally, I think two games is fine for me. I feel like I'm pretty ready to go to play round one. But then I'd say another game is great for experimenting, giving opportunity for young guys that have had really good pre-seasons, guys like Harrison Wigg, guys like Wayne Miller that didn't play much last year, first-year boys that have come in, Pahulki, Gallucci. So I think it's great for those to get rewarded for the things that they've done throughout pre-season.
And it's just whether you need to see them on TV or not. I mean, you can do that in trial games or, you know, you could play Richmond in a trial game and not be on TV and not know anything about it. But I think a lot of people like watching it and seeing how those young players are going. Tex, on the weekend, if you were down at the game or if you're watching on Fox, you'd see that Geelong dominated possession in the first half, but the Crows, I think, were still in front at half-time or close. It was... just explain how they can dominate possession and what you guys were doing wrong, and then tell us what Pike said at halftime to change, and you had a very dominant third quarter.
I think it was a number of things from our perspective. We wanted to keep our forwards pretty deep, and in the first half, I thought...
Deep as in close to goal?
Closer to our goal, yeah. And we weren't able to do that. I think we got caught up in congestion, which enabled Geelong to have multiple numbers behind the ball.
So they had extra blokes behind the ball and they could just chip it around to
and
each
other. The way they want to play is they want to run at the game, they want to handball and make you sort of overcommit. And then the other one was the way they kick and kick mark. So
if you don't pick them up tight, they can just keep chipping it around.
Go through you, yeah. So after halftime we said, righto, we need the forwards to be patient and let the ball come in, and then we're going to press right in behind it. And
so put the forwards push up and try and man up, and instead of having loose numbers, man them up so they can't chip it around.
Yeah.
And they've got to kick it to a contest, and then you go again.
And then we'll get our midfielders and defenders pressing in.
Mm. You dominated in that third quarter.
It was good to watch. That's a picture in my head of how we want to play this year.
Yeah, well, when the midfielders get the ball, Tex, you get plenty of the ball down the forward line. We saw Hampton again, do some really clever things. Do you think he'll play in round one, and can he be as good of what... He's getting a hell of a lot of press at the moment, which always worries everyone, but can he be a good fellow for us this year for the Crows?
Yeah, look, he's had a great pre-season, and I think I said it a couple of weeks ago, I think it's his first pre-season which he's been able to put together consistently. So, look, he's played some really good footy for us, and I'm still learning his craft. So I'm confident that come round one, his name will be thrown around for selection.
Interesting one, Ditz. Bernie Vince, when he left the club, none of us were happy. I certainly wasn't. I know you weren't. I know Bernie's dad wasn't. I know a lot of people wasn't.
Tex is still missing
at the time.
Texas.
I do miss him.
Yeah. We all miss him. But when he left, the Crows got Matt Crouch for him. Now, Matt Crouch is turning into a very good midfielder. I think he's about to have another best year. He had a significantly better year last year. I think he'll take a big step forward. So that's what you get for having the courage, if you want to call it that, or making the brave move to do it. Still not saying it's right because you've got culture and, you know, all of those things to consider. But Matt Crouch, I think he'll have a breakout the year this year. Do you think the same?
Well, I've said it to him on multiple occasions, Matt. I think it's the best nick I've seen his body in. It looks like an AFL body.
What did it look like before?
Yeah, probably
SANFL. B grade?
Ballarat C grade. But no, he's been able to put in a great pre-season. And I think having a taste of what AFL footy is about last year, and he's been able to play at the level consistently, he understands what it takes now to do that week in, week out, and he had an awesome pre-season and he's throwing that through JLT.
Yeah, and Bernie Vince won a best and fairest at Melbourne. Anyway, 7:20.
Did they play finals?
Sorry?
Did they play finals or?
They will.
Oh, they...
Yeah.
Oh, they...
It's all part of the
Did
plan.
They?
Yeah. No, they will.
Okay. Ruined it for breakfast. Tex!
on 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Now, we know, Tex, a year or two ago, as captain of the mighty Camry Crows, you took the boys along to one of your favourite bands.
Tex, what's going on?
Tell me this is not bloody true, will you? I'm shattered.
You know what he's like. One team, all together. We do everything together, and no better way to emphasise than go in the one direction.
Now, the word's out, Tex. Now, that was bad enough. The word's out. You want to go to another concert on Monday night. What is it?
Adelaide Cup.
No. That's after
you're
the
going
Adelaide
there
Cup.
First, yeah.
What is it? Oh, Guns N' Roses.
No. Bruce Springsteen's been.
Monday night. I don't. Jeez, that's next week.
You wouldn't
know.
Be hunting down Adele tickets by any chance, would you?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Far out.
Oh, God.
Tex, are you an inspirational leader?
We might even be able to put our own show on, Rudy. Quite possible I might find myself going.
Quite possible. I think that's a yes.
Far
that we can
Tex.
Confirm. So are all the boys going? Who's off to see Adele?
Just the forward line.
I'm not too sure. I'm not too sure who's going. I'll find out for you and get back to you.
Now, by the way, I know you've got influence here, but we'd love to interview the face of the Adelaide Cup. Can we get Ellie Brown in?
I'll go. I'll walk out.
Can we get Ellie Brown in or not?
No, you can't.
Why? Yes. Why not?
You've got to allow her out of the closet, Tex. What? Let her have her own life.
No,
stop restricting
her. Own life.
Restraint of trade, it is what you're doing.
No, I'm not.
Why aren't we allowed to interview Ellie Brown?
Have you let Sarah come on radio?
Yes, bloody hell. I don't have any say in that.
Anything else, Dick?
You rule the roost, do you?
Anything else?
So she's not allowed to have her own say. If we ring her and get Ellie Brown
what
in,
what sort of environment are you creating?
To talk about footy.
Fair enough. Now he's got the ump.
I might as well bring me dogs in here.
He's got the ump now, hasn't he?
Boston and Buddy and get them on radio.
All right.
Hey, we actually had you on radio yesterday. Listen to this.
Yeah, I was sitting on the bench and, you know how we were in Adelaide?
Yeah.
And we're playing at Richmond Oval.
Yeah.
In Melbourne, in Richmond. Yeah. I was thinking, do they have an Adelaide Oval?
I don't know. They might. There you go. That's our new Tex Walker.
What about the joke?
Oh, Jesus. Some people have too much time in their hands.
Yeah, they do. Righto, you're off to Noarlunga this weekend?
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Now, you're going to play four quarters or not?
Yeah, we'll probably have our probably strongest team in, so.
Righto.
Look out, Brisbane.
So take on the Lions.
Take on the Lions.
He's going to come up with anything he's thinking. He's thinking, Tex. He's got nothing.
All right, that was Tex Walker. On your Tex. Thanks for coming in. Now, have you got a joke to leave us with?
Yeah, well, you live up in Arndorf, Dan.
Yep.
I was walking up there the other day and walking down the main street and some bloke threw a bottle of omega-3 capsules at me. Hit me right in the head, but luckily my injuries were only superficial.
Fish oil.
Right, next week, Ellie Brown.
Get Ellie in.
Tex, thanks to Distinctive Homes. Perfect for your lifestyle, our house, your home.
Triple M. 104.7 Triple M. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really. But we are going deep inside the female psyche.
Ruined its angels.
Good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruined Dits.
We got Mel the Button Pusher, we got Alice the Wag, and Kelly who's about to get married. How long now, Kelly?
4 weeks.
Now, you were just bopping along to that song just then.
Yeah.
What song? You later tell us what's
going to be your... You put out a supporter or
what's your wedding? What's your wedding waltz going to be?
Well, it's not a wedding waltz, it's an entry song, because it's a big, huzzah. Yeah, we're not having a traditional type of wedding, it's all stand-up.
Oh, okay.
So it's all cocktail.
Righto.
Reception.
So what's your song?
That one.
Never. You know you'll have the Port Adelaide cheer squad there.
Yeah, maybe.
Their scarves above their heads. Beautiful.
Yeah,
righto. Now, first topic today, What is it, Roo?
Well, they, you know, this is just the world we live in these days. You can't have a green man when you go to cross the road, when you see the little symbol to say you can walk now, you're not going to get hit by a car. It's now going to be a green lady.
Oh, of course.
It actually looks like an old bowling lady. It's got a skirt and a hat like, yeah, it's like a nana.
Right.
A green nana.
So it's unfair to have men, is it?
It is. Right, it's not the, you just can't have that anymore.
Mel,
girls.
The button pusher?
I'm all for equality, of course. I just think this is a waste of time. And like you say, it's so say we do do it and you have to have representation of women crossing the street on these things. What woman? So I don't wear dresses. So just because you plonk a skirt on it, that means that I'm all of a sudden represented.
Oh, right, here we go.
And they've got piggytails I noticed on one of them there. And so it says all girls, this is women, long hair and skirts. So you're into a minefield there anyway.
I'm glad you asked this, Roo.
Right.
Silly.
Righto. Alice the Wag.
Yeah, this is really dumb. Like, it doesn't even look like a walking man. It just looks like a human. Like, it doesn't have
like probably a good
manhood
result
or anything on it. So it just looks like a human. So I don't understand what the issue is.
It's just a symbol.
Yeah, it's just a symbol of a human, I thought. But now I feel offended that it is a man. But like, honestly, where is this going to stop? Because I reckon, honestly, in 6 months, Caitlyn Jenner's going to be like, now it's men and women represented. Why aren't transgenders
represented? Good call.
Represented,
very
you know?
And then
where is the buck going to stop?
Oh, Wag. I like it. Kelly?
I'm all for equality also, but I just feel like we should be, like, is there no other crime going on?
No,
is this seriously
heaps of other issues.
Is this seriously the most pressing issue in our society? What's
apparently
going on with homelessness? You know, why aren't we doing more about that? I just think it's a complete waste of money and time and effort and topics.
Well, we're getting a bit deep today.
Well, these are the topics
by
that
the
have
way,
been pushed to us
on,
today.
On this whole push the other day, because we talked about in cricket, they you don't want us to say 12th man anymore or whatever, and you don't. You know, batsman.
Yeah, what are we meant to say for batsman?
Batter.
Batter.
But I heard someone wrote in and said, can I still call my dog a Doberman? Well.
Just call it a Dober.
A Dober.
Dober. Well, if
Dober
you,
dog.
What about the Baker's Delight ad who's been put in a little, the billboard, I should say, for advertising lollies on bread for school lunches?
Yep.
This has been held up by the Advertising Standards Board. They don't want to promote lollies at, with kids at school lunches. Are we...
Well, the ad said, school lunches, problem solved. They were the big letters across the top of it. And it's a finger bun with M&Ms on it, right? Now, and you're right, Roo, the Advertising Standards Board has upheld the complaint here. Now, there's a couple of issues. Mel the button pusher, your little girl will go to school soon, or kindy, so you're going to have to get your lunchbox organised.
Good luck with that, Mel.
Thank you.
So my issue with this is I'm being told as a parent what I can or can't feed my children.
Yeah, and I think you're looking at this from a big brother sort of perspective because you don't like being bossed around, and I get that. But I think, and we've had teachers on this program who've said they're sick and tired of the fact that more and more is getting pushed into being the school's responsibility. So schools being responsible for teaching kids manners, personal hygiene, healthy eating, all stuff that should be done by parents but just simply isn't. So that's the reality of the situation. So I'm pretty glad they're trying to look out for kids as a whole and say M&M's on top of a really sugary white bun isn't lunch. So I agree. It's not lunch. That's a treat. That should happen every now and then. And if they're positioning it as something to put in the lunchbox as an easy solution for kids to eat every day, I think that's wrong.
All right. So I said this earlier this morning. What about when I went to school? I reckon I did eat junk a lot of the time. However, I was out on the oval playing nonstop before school, recess, lunchtime, after. We were active kids. How about schools concentrate on getting kids active again instead of telling me that my kid can't have a donut for lunch or something?
Yeah, but it's about what goes in the gob as well as what the activeness, isn't it?
It's.
Imagine if you were active and you ate healthy.
Oh, I'd be frightened.
It would be dangerous.
You would be trying OptiFast when you're 52.
Right. Right. That was Mel the Button Pusher for the last time on the Angels. Alice the Wag.
Well, my mum always made really good school
lunches.
My
mum told me.
And she was a home baker, so she wouldn't send us to school with processed crap, but she would make really good muffins and everything. I was known as a kid with the really good school lunches, and I was also a little bit chubby. And so one time we did this like bit of a health kick and she stopped sending me to school with muffins and stuff. And one time she sent me to school with a like a salad sandwich, and I was angry that this girl next to me was eating chicken nuggets, and I actually stole one.
Chicken nuggets.
But I stole one, and then the girl slapped me, and it became this massive thing. So I feel like kids are going to get the food neither way. Either way.
Right.
Oh, God.
Kelly.
Either.
I always went to school with pretty healthy lunches, but then when we had to buy lunch, what's wrong with having lollies? I don't know. I'm sick of a nanny state.
Thank you.
I'm over it.
Thank you.
Stop trying to regulate my home life and personal life and what I eat and what I drink and where I cross the road. Just back off.
Oh, bloody hell.
Never tear us apart.
Some bloke is about to marry you. Can you believe?
Oh, poor deregulation. Just let people live their lives.
All right, you've had your say. Crikey. We get the point.
I reckon we need to have the week off this.
That was the Angels. Thanks, girls.
Thank you.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
What's happening in the world of football, Roo?
Well, JLT series is underway. I've had a couple of games from every club, and it doesn't take long for pressure to come on coaches. And whether you think, as we said yesterday, whether you think Porter just going around and had a couple of runs and not going fine and we'll step it up this week, or whether you think there's actually trouble, the pressure's coming on Ken Hinckley, whether it's right or wrong at the moment. Let's have a listen to a few people in the media over the last couple of days having their opinions on Port Adelaide. Let's start with Gary Lyon.
You know, you've had a look at the list. The question you've got to ask now, where are they at in terms of going forward? Is the best football behind these guys? Westhoff, Broadbent, Hartlett, Trengove, Pollock, White, Lobby, Monfries, Jonas. I mean, they have been the core of this side. I think the best footy's behind those guys.
Now, Gary Lyon knows a lot more about football than I do, but Roo, I can go through every club and say that. Your senior players that have been there for a long, long time, their best footy is behind them. That's not Port Adelaide's problem. That's every club in the comp. And some of the blokes he just mentioned won't actually play in Port Adelaide's round one team.
Yep.
So I find that a bit of a strange thing for him to say, actually.
Yeah, it is a little bit. And they've still got very, very good football in front of them if they can get it right.
Correct.
At the moment, they're not getting it right. But the fact is, there's people out there talking about Port Adelaide, and this is putting pressure on Hinckley. Paul Roos.
Hang on, sorry, before you go any further, when you say there's pressure on Ken Hinckley, he knows, and everyone knows, the last 2 years haven't been great.
Yep.
But we can't. I find it remarkable that people look at a couple of practice games. When on the weekend, Port Adelaide put a heap of young kids out there as well. And what? People are saying, oh, Port aren't playing well yet. Well, of course they're not.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying this is what the AFL system does to people under pressure. Hardwick's been through it. Buckley's goes through it. And this is what's happening with Hinckley at the moment. Paul Roos weighed in yesterday.
Look, it's difficult because it is pre-season. I think the more you got sort of senior players in the side, they sort of tend to get their run organised, you know, like they're a little bit sort of selfish in terms of, well, I need to do this in the first game, second game. But I reckon there'd be some worry. Like, Kenny wouldn't be that happy, I wouldn't have thought, because you're looking at trends through your series. You're not worried too much about the results, but, you know, I did the game yesterday, and it probably all but about 20 minutes. There was no real heat around the footy. There was no real, you know, forward pressure, you know, creating turnovers in their forward half.
So basically saying they played well for 20 minutes, which you could say that about the Crows. Mm. Crows only played really good for one quarter as well. But Ken Hinckley weighed in and had his say as well.
For us, it's about preparing as hard as we possibly can for the first round of the season and for the whole season. But it's about we're nowhere near where we want to be just yet. So we've just got to keep at it. We want to remain positive about what we've got to do. And we've got to continue to track down on at training what it is that we're trying to improve on. And for us, there's some obvious things there.
The thing I'd say, Dits, we said it yesterday, because we know what we're talking about here, don't we?
You do.
No. This week's important for Port.
Yeah.
This week's the hit out where you go 100% for round one.
Get a good team out on the deck.
Yep.
Play your senior players. Play.
Now, if you don't see it this week, then you can get a little bit nervous, I think.
I'm, you've got to be an optimist at this stage of the season. I still think that if Port Adelaide's midfield get the footy and their halfback line and go bang down to the talls, you've got Westhoff, you've got Dixon, there's Ryder, there's Trengove. I don't know. I think they'll be all right.
Yep. Well, we'll wait and see. Now,
what's happening? Your club's upset, and I think rightly so. On the weekend, this third man up rule is bloody ridiculous.
Yeah, well, they tried to bring in a third man up rule to stop blokes jumping into the ruckman and hurting them. And, the biggest loser out of this is Geelong. They had Blixarves, who's a midfielder, come ruckman who could jump over the top at stoppages. So they cut that out, but they went too far. On the weekend, the boundary throw-in went in. It was a bit windy. It didn't go as far, and it hit Dean Gore in the back of the head. He wasn't even watching
and
the
it's
ball.
His fault.
And they gave a free kick against it. They're going to tidy it up.
Come on.
And this is what happens when you make rule changes. Sometimes you don't think of some of the consequences of those changes. So they'll tidy that one up. For a lot of people out there, we've heard about the collective bargaining agreement, which is basically what the players will get paid and a few other things they also get on the side. It's been dragging on, and they still to this moment don't know what it is for this year. So clubs have been, it's been horribly hard to try and work out how much you can pay your players. There's some talk around now, and it was written in an article on Friday in Melbourne. Not many people have picked it up. The salary cap could go up 20% from last year. Now, 20% pay rise, we'd all love to get that from year to year.
Yeah.
20% pay rise, which means there's going to be a lot of blokes. The average footballer is going to be on over $300,000. There's been talk of a strike. You've heard Dangerfield say it. You've heard Pavlich talk about it. But the AFL are getting pushed hard by the Players Association. So,
is it justified?
Well, they did do a record TV deal. They want a set percentage of the revenue, the players. So, but what it does do, if the players take a big chunk of it, which they'll say they're entitled to, it'll make it hard for the AFL to spend money in other areas of the game. But there's no show without the players. That's what the players will say. But the AFL will say, yeah, but we need to do new stadiums and we need to support new sides. We need to support grassroots footy. We need to support women's footy. We need to support umpires, blah, blah, blah. They'll go into it. But all I'm saying is the mail is it could be a 20% rise in the players' salaries in 2017. So
that's
watch
big.
This space.
All right, that's what's happening in the world of AFL.
Ruin Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
20 degrees outside, 33 today. Roo,
20 degrees. 20 degrees
outside.
Would you say 23? 33
today.
33.
Yeah.
33. But they're talking about we could have blackouts later on this afternoon because of power dits.
Excuse me?
We could have no power this afternoon.
Why?
Because they're going to do some maintenance checks in Victoria, and that could cut the amount of power that we're pulling in from Victoria, even though it's only 33, not 43 or 48. Or
they are kidding, aren't they?
No, well, it's just the position we're in, unfortunately. We rely on power from Victoria so much. It's not good, but we'll see how we go, and hopefully we can get through without too much trouble. But the cost of power is just an interesting one. I know we go on about it all the time, but it's worth bringing up. Just there's a story in the paper today about the zoo as one example of how much power costs business. We talk about it just at the home front at home, how much it costs just to pay the family bill, and that's very, very important. But the zoo this year, for instance, has already put solar panels in, which has cut their reliance on power by 20%. Mm. Just a business like that, $62,000 extra they have to find, even after they've put solar panels in, just to keep the zoo running. So $62,000.
What do you mean? That's an increase this year.
Increase.
$62,000.
Yep. We know BHP was $137 million. It cost them at Roxby Downs, so $137 million. A place like Foodland, where we all go and get our groceries from day by day or week by week, $2.4 million. It's going to cost the Roger Drake, his Foodland chain, $2.4 million. He's going to have to probably put up his prices, which will affect all of us.
We will have to.
He's not going to just cop $2.4 million.
No.
He'll try and put it up he can. So that means your eggs or your bread or your milk or your nuts or whatever you want to buy, fruit and veg, is going to be dearer. Adelaide Oval, $800,000 extra their power bill will be.
Extra?
Extra. $800,000 their bill will be.
Well, again,
for the same usage.
They have to pass that on.
That
well, they will.
That or the sports get less money out of it, that or the stadium can't afford to reinvest, and so you won't have as good a facilities there. So a little business, not a little business, a big business now. Well, a lot of almonds are grown up in the Riverland. There's a business up there called Almond Co.
Yeah.
Their bill goes up $250,000. $250,000.
So what we're talking about here are just the increases. Not that's not their actual bill. That's the increase.
That's the increase. So
I can't believe that.
Then we can... you know, we spoke about mums and dads, and we spoke about families, how much it's going up. But there'd be so many other businesses out there that get affected by it.
Do you mind me asking you, your one of your pubs, like the Alma, is a good sized pub.
Yep.
What do you pay? Any idea?
Oh, in Port Lincoln, I'll use as an example. It's about $20,000 a month.
$20,000 a month.
Yep. Yep.
Oh. God, so you're kidding.
Yeah, and when it goes up, it doesn't make the beer taste any nicer, or the steak or the schnitzels or the tuna taste any nicer. So what you've got to try to, you're trying to find ways where you can make money in pubs, but you can't do anything else. So the little bakery down the road, you know, every bakery that's power bill's gone up, can they keep charging more for their pasties or sausage rolls, or does it get to a point where you go, it's too dear?
Well, there does. There comes a point where you think, you know, what am I paying? $6, $7, $8 for a pasty or something. You're not gonna pay it.
It's tough.
All pointing towards one thing, which we've already discussed many, many, many times. Companies are going to stop coming here, Roo.
Hmm. Or this they're going to shut down, or yeah. they're just not going to make any money, and they won't be able to reinvest.
This is such a concern. This is a major worry.
Well, it's just an example with the zoos there and Foodland, all these different places that you probably don't even think about. But yeah, I'll be interested in other people's stories, Ditz, or what their bills have gone up. Other businesses out there.
Yeah.
Give us a call 1-333-53. Let us know what you've been through already with your bill and what you're expecting.
If you're a small business out there, tell us how tough this is, because
and what you can do to get over it. Are you going to put your price up, or are you just going to make less money?
Mm.
And what it means for your business.
Mm. Very good point. Gee, I tell you what, it's getting harder. 1-333-53. Tell us, please tell us about your bill.
104.7 Triple M.
Roo, we've been talking about electricity and the cost of it for a long, 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 long time. But what we're interested in today is how much has your bill gone up, or will it go up this year? We're hearing frightening stories.
Yeah, we hear the stories of BHP, which was on the front page of the paper. $137 million it cost them in 2016. And we speak about how hard it is for mums and dads to pay their bills. But what about some small business owners that perhaps sometimes get forgotten? Let's go to the Adelaide Hills. Good morning, Robert.
How you going, fellas?
Good, Robert. What can you tell us?
Well, we're veggie growers in the Adelaide Hills, and our power bill is going to go up about $80,000.
What?
$80,000 extra you got to make before you make the same as you did the previous year.
Absolutely. the biggest issue for us is we've had to go out and buy gen sets to run all our pumps and all our packing equipment, because we need reliable power. And we just don't have it anymore.
See, that's another point. So you're paying $80,000 more, and it's not even reliable. That's amazing.
Well, the thing is, the last lot of power blackouts, our area in particular, lost power for 4 days.
Mm, God.
So,
you know, it just, when you've got veggies in the ground, they need irrigation.
Yep.
And you just got to be able to turn the water on when you need it.
So, what do you think, Robert? When you hear we were about to sort of give the approval for a couple of new wind farms, do you think that's a good idea or not?
Well, I think it's too reliant on all this green energy. With the technology that they've got, I can't see any reason why they can't use this clean burn coal fire power stations. Mm. You know, crikey, we need the power now.
Mm.
Don't worry too much about what's going to happen in 100 years. We can't even get it right now. Mm.
Robert, what does this mean then? What decisions have you had to make for your business? Does it mean cutting staff, or does it mean just whacking up your prices? What will you do as a result of this?
Well, unfortunately, being veggie growers, we're price takers, not price makers.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, this is just something we've got to absorb.
You just make $80,000 less than you should.
Yeah, well, we don't always even make money every year, but that's all right. That's the game we're in, and we know it. But there's just too many hurdles, too many jumps that you've got to get over. And, to be honest with you, it's just not good enough.
No.
Yeah.
Good on you, Robert. Thanks for calling in. Roo, that's a great call.
Well, that's exactly why we're
That's
it
what's
over,
going on.
Because that's we know that's going on. And yeah. that 80,000, whether it's profit or whether it's the difference between positive or negative, that's, you know, TV might not go by, or a holiday might not go on, or some clothes you might not buy from the local store, or, you know, how you spend your money. But let's take some more calls. G'day, Dave.
G'day, mate. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah, I'm a bit worried about all this because, I mean, we talk about losing money and there's a lot of people doing it tough, but I'm also worried about the grandkids, you know, like what happens if we run out of coal or we run out of, you know, all these things that we're just pulling out the ground and burning. We can't give up on the, you know, the safe or not the safer solutions, but the environmental solutions.
I think everyone thinks we should have renewable energy, Dave, but do you think we should have as much as we've got? Do you think we should have a little bit less and wait till we can store the power and so we can use it a bit more efficiently when we need it rather than the way we've got it at the moment?
Absolutely, yeah. We should be storing as much as we possibly can, and we should have even more of it, but we can't.
We can't store it, so we shouldn't be doing as much, should we?
Yeah, that's what's so worrying is that we're not good enough at it yet, but we can't give up on it.
Nah.
What are our grandkids going to say in 50 years' time when we've stuffed up their environment?
Got to get the balance right. We haven't got it at the moment. Let's go to Hallett Cove. G'day, Kathy. How are you, Kathy?
I think Kathy's gone.
Kathy's not there. Let's go to Aberfoyle Park. G'day, Mark.
Hey, Ruin Dits. How are you?
Good, Mark. What do you think we need to do here?
Mate, I think you're right. This is hurting everyone, all South Australians, and even nationally. But, mate, I am a bit of a conspiracy theorist, and I believe for the last 10 years that the SA government, the federal government, have been manipulating the entire situation to get us to be ready to accept energy provisions that have been unwanted by us for decades, which is, I reckon they're getting us ready for nuclear, boys.
Ooh. Well, I don't know enough about nuclear, but
that is a conspiracy theory.
We hold 40% of the world's uranium, so if it's viable and it's safe, we're in a pretty good position for it.
Yeah. All right, we've got Kathy back. Hello, Kathy at Hallett Cove. Good morning.
Good morning, boys. How are you?
Good. What would you like to say, Kathy?
Look, I don't have a small business to run and pay those humongous prices, but why are we being held to ransom by these companies? Why are they being allowed to just continue putting prices up? Why isn't the government or someone else stepping in and putting a stop to all this? It's really legal robbery.
Yep. Kathy, it's a very, very good question. And I've got something to put to you, Roo. Tell me how this, if this could work. Now, we know that going back, a previous government became unpopular because they introduced a mining tax, if you remember, like a wealth tax for the mining companies and things like that.
And it didn't work.
Yeah. Why couldn't our government just get heavy-handed right now with the power companies and say, all right, you're going to make these exorbitant profits, but I'll tell you what, you're going to pay massive tax on it as well and plough the money back into us?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Well, they did it. As I said, they did it with...
Yeah, but it didn't work. It stuffed up the mining industry. No one put money into investment.
All right, that's why I've asked you, Roo. No, you got the answers.
I don't know. I don't know how they can do that. It's, but
this is surely out-and-out profiteering. How can one Adelaide Hills vegetable grower tell us that he will pay an extra $80,000 in a year? How can the Adelaide Oval pay $800,000? Yeah, but
because we're getting it from interstate.
No, I know that part of it. But how can prices go up that much?
Because the renewable energy is not efficient. It's not like the solar panels. It's not as efficient as what the Port Augusta power station was. It costs more to get that power.
Yeah, but it's not that much more. Like you said, Adelaide Oval, $800,000 increase in 1 year.
Yeah.
It can't cost that much more.
No, well...
Someone's got their maths terribly wrong if we have to put it up that much in 12 months.
They are milking it as well. We've heard that. Yeah. They are milking it when they get the spot prices or whatever the right terminology is. So it is a bit more complicated than that. Let's go to Tea Tree Gully. G'day, Troy.
Yeah, that's how you're going.
Good, Troy.
Hey, look, guys, obviously there's a few issues here. One, I think, is the fact that it doesn't really matter what the supply is, whether it's wind farm, coal power or nuclear. It's actually all the infrastructure around them that's been causing all the problems. So you've got a lot of people that have lost power over the last sort of 6 months due to storms and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter where the supply is. And today they're doing work on the actual line between here and Victoria. Well, that's great.
Yep.
But, you know, it doesn't matter if where they're getting the power from. It's the lines that support all the actual where the power's coming from.
Yeah, that's only...
So they can go and put more wind farms in. If those power lines, for example, are not underground or whatever else, well, they're going to get potentially wiped out by another storm.
Yep. Look, we understand what's happening today, but that's just the problem with having to rely on it coming from Victoria. Doesn't matter what we're saying is, it's out of control. It's costing everyone, whether you're a mum and dad, whether you're a small business owner, or whether you're BHP, it's costing everyone a lot of money.
Going back to Kathy from Hallett Cove, surely it is time now. There's got to be some sort of love in some moratorium right now. Our federal government and state governments need to sort that. They should be meeting about this daily.
Well, I'm sure they are. They'd have to be.
They're bloody quiet about it if they are.
Mm.
This needs to be sorted out from a national level. If our Prime Minister is any good, he should be calling a forum together right now. And this is the biggest issue affecting Australian households and business right now.
Yep.
There's no other bigger issue, is there?
No, I don't think so. Not that I can think of off the top of my head.
They need to do something now.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
8:25, ruined it's for breakfast. 21 degrees outside, it'll be 33. Pretty good day in Adelaide coming up today, but you might not have power. There might be outages, but anyway, enjoy the weather while you can. Now, yesterday, as you mentioned, Roo...
some people got the bit of a look at the new RA, the new Royal Adelaide Hospital, that we look at every day from the 13th floor of the...
Just waiting for it to open.
Franklin Street. Looks absolutely beautiful, but it's been empty for a long time, but...
Mm.
It could be open soon.
All right, now, yesterday they had a bit of a tour. Let's hear from our Health Minister, Jack Snelling.
I feel a bit like a proud dad today, being able to show off this wonderful new facility.
But I think the wait has been worth it. This is the best hospital in Australia.
The wait's been worth it. Okay, now, Jack Snelling feels like a proud dad. Gee, his wife went through a hell of a pregnancy.
The longest pregnancy. Hey?
What are we, about 3 years later or what? Yep. Now, one man who went on the tour, of course, and so he should, is Channel 7 political reporter Mike Smithson. Smitho, good morning. I thought it was quite a strange thing for him to say, actually.
Good morning, boys. Yeah, and it was a free tour. I didn't have to pay, which was nice. Thought I might be able to chip in and try and claw back some of the money. But the government has been embarrassed by this. There's no doubt about that. People drive past. The Taj Mahal Hospital is there and all its glory on the outside. Looks $1 billion, $1 billion. But inside, nothing's been happening in terms of patient care. And look, it is impressive on the inside. Very easy to get lost, as I found.
Mm.
Because would you believe the corridors, the two main lateral corridors that run down the entire east-west link of the hospital, not twice the size of Adelaide Oval. So you can imagine if you go a little bit off track, it's not easy to find your way back on. But yeah, look, it's a great building. I've been critical of the delays, as has everyone, and there's been stuff ups along the way where they've put walls in the wrong places. The loading dock is too low, so they can't get trucks in, just a minor problem, obviously.
Mm.
Not. The air conditioning has been a problem with it leaks, so if there are bugs that get into it, the last thing you want is anything that is going through your air conditioning system that's going to cause more problems for sick patients on the inside. But in general, I'm excited about it opening because it's costing us a lot of money, so you want it to work properly. And just a few quick facts, there's 3,000 soap dispensers there. I know you want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
And 1.3 million meals will be served each year. Two helipads, as we know. There's one for Ditz's chopper and one for everyone else.
Fantastic. So
beautiful.
That's the way right. It's
so what about the opening date? Have we got any more info on that? And I know I read in the weekend they're still deciding whether they bring people in and get organised before the flu season hits, or we just hold them back until November, till after the flu season. So what's the latest on whether the hospital can handle sick people or not this winter?
Well, Roo, they hand the keys over officially next week. That's what the Premier is hoping.
So that's when we pay $1 million a day?
Pretty much, that's right. So get your checkbook out because they'll come to you first, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
And so keys handed over next week, then 90 days of testing. And that's so technical completion, as they call it, is next week, and then commercial acceptance when they've been in there for 90 days. They've got to get all the computer systems working, and staff have got to be trained. And as I said, it is so massive inside that just staff finding their way to where they have to be will be part of the issue. But that's all under control. But so I would say by, if I were a betting man, the logical time to open would be the 1st of July, wouldn't it? Because it's the new financial year and your books start from that point. I've said that for the last 2 months, that would be the anticipated opening date, and I haven't changed my mind. So that'll be flu season by about a month or two. Mm. I'm hoping, and I really do hope, that this time next year we say, what was all the fuss about? It's a great place. It's working beautifully. We're getting value for money. I'll keep my powder dry, obviously, until we see what may go wrong, but I'm hoping everything goes right in the meantime.
Smith, so do I. I hope it all goes smooth too. But I tell you what, it'd be a fair exercise moving all the sick patients from one hospital to another too. How is all that going to happen? Is North Terrace going to be closed?
Downhill. He's rolling.
Yeah, well, it is downhill. He's rolling. It is downhill. They're going to get a whole lot of skateboards. Yeah. They're going to get a whole lot of Segways. No, they're going to use ambulances, they say, to take patients down. And we're talking in the hundreds of patients. But funnily enough, the guy who built one of the hospitals on the Gold Coast, I was speaking to him on another story some months ago. No, it wasn't Warwick Capper. It was a leading businessman in Adelaide. But he said that the best way to transfer patients, unless they are critically ill, but just your average patient, he said what they did on the Gold Coast, they hired a whole lot, and this is no bull, and this is the truth, they hired a whole lot of stretch limos, and they put patients in there, gave them a glass of bubbly as they got in the ambulance, in the stretch limo.
Yeah, and why not?
We'll see you at the other end.
They said, take us via the Adelaide Hills and we'll see you at the hospital.
A glass of bubbly on the way there.
Yeah. And
they're in a stretch limo, so they think they're on top of the world.
Mm,
they
hilarious.
Get out of the other end and they put in a bed and go to sleep. And
fantastic.
Never heard from
that's again. Brilliant. Yeah, all right. Yeah. Hey, good on you, Smitho. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
I like that idea.
Yeah, spend another million on limos.
Stretch limos. Why not? That's beautiful. It really is.
Good stuff.
8:31, ruined it's for breakfast.
Get Ruin Dits for breakfast, weekdays from 6, or subscribe to Ruin Dits for Breakfast Catch-Up at triplem.com.au.